Hello, everybody. This is Wrong Side of 30, episode one after the last one. I think it is six. Everybody say hello.
What's up? It's Keisha.
Howdy. It's Billy.
More energy, motherfucker. I told you before we started this.
No, I'm doing this kind of cowboy thing, you know, like
no.
A little drawl.
Howdy.
That is not going to work, man.
Well, I don't think there's going to be a state fair of Texas, so I'm trying to do big techs.
Yeah, I don't think so either. It sucks because that's going to be another event for my wife's company that's going to go down. But with how everything is changing, it's looking, her job looks a lot safer now than it did, you know, a few months ago, with kind of how society's become a little bit more aware about the challenges that minorities face in this country. So I'm going to count that as a win. For the Guhinis.
Wait, so why is it safer now than before?
Because she's Mexican and, you know, fucking
oh,
every,
I thought
the
you
boards
meant, like,
of like
thought,
all
no,
of these
I thought
companies
you meant, like, there's
are
more
all
events,
white.
That there's more know? Events. So she has event things
no.
to do. I didn't
there's
know.
Way less events. It's
I was like
the worst
I don't
industry.
Understand how any of this is working.
It's like the worst industry to be in. But, you know, you have all these huge companies and all the leadership is, you know, white.
Are they?
And they're like.
I don't know. I don't really notice race.
Oh, bullshit, motherfucker, says the white guy. But it's weird because it seems like every time we start recording, the world changes drastically, right?
Yeah.
Like when we did the first episode, COVID happened afterward. Everything's completely different. And it feels like we've had as monumental a shift with the prominence of the Black Lives Matter movement and the movement mm-hmm. to try to hold police to be more responsible. Is it just me or does the world just seem a little crazy right now?
It's pretty crazy. Also, you know, it blows my mind that it's already June. I feel like the last 3 months have just like, I don't even know what I did in the last 3 months. But I will say, Brandon, like, I think you did a really good job, you know, leading us into the last episode. I think you said some really awesome things that obviously we all are aligned with. And you know, one thing about everything changing is that I think everyone's tolerance for just like injustice and bullshit is so low. And
yeah.
This is really just the time that, I mean, I think everyone's just fed up with it. And so, you know, I know you're going to talk, you know, a little bit about like what you need to do at this time and how we can make a difference. But I think like for me, the one thing that I know is important and it doesn't seem like a big difference or a big deal, but like I'm just continuing to have really uncomfortable conversations with people about their privilege, about some of the privilege that I probably have. And then making sure that the conversation ends in a way that's still like educational, that's still helpful. And that isn't just ending in anger and hate. And I think like that's really important. And as uncomfortable as it is right now, it's not nearly as uncomfortable what everyone else has been dealing with for the last, you know, whatever amount of time that people have just been treated like shit.
I think you hit the nail on the head about we have run out of tolerance. Like I can tell you, you know, I previous me, if I was engaged in a conversation like on Facebook with someone who said something I found repugnant, might be like, look, I just want to talk about like the different perspectives. And now, you know, you realize it just doesn't work. It doesn't get mm-hmm. through. So now you just say, you know, go fuck your face.
Yeah, now you've gotten
just
back
a piece
to
of shit.
Blown cyberbullying. Who is that guy who's capable of everything on Nextdoor who's like ant's life?
David
you run?
Pixley. No, but the thing is, it may seem non-productive, but I disagree. I actually think it illustrates to like a population like, no. Like we're serious about this.
Yeah.
And that's why I actually think the protests have been working because you've seen movement to like radically change how we view policing. And that is one thing I want to talk about briefly because I know this is not the point of this show, but it's very hard to get anything done on a national level. Like we're just such small peas, you know, each House member represents so many people, but you can get pretty heavily involved at the local level. And that starts really at city council. So find who your city council member is, find out when they meet. And there's an open records law that means that your council members can't meet with like more than like 40% of the membership and mm-hmm. not have it broadcast publicly. So you have the ability to watch and to listen to the people who represent you and exactly how they think things should change. And you can be a big part of that because city council members are actually a lot more reflective of, you know, you than anybody on a national level, because they're just another member of, you know, the city you live in. And they are much more affected by anything you might say publicly when it comes to their reelection. And I think the thing to remember is we're not talking about getting rid of all police. We're just talking about decreasing the amount of things that police respond to, like taking guns out of situations that they don't need to be in.
Well, I mean, I think, like, so it's funny when you talk about, like, your city council people. I don't know if this is just me being completely dumb, but growing up and being an adult, it's like you think about the big elections as like the Super Bowl or like the playoffs, right? And then the smaller ones that are like in your neighborhood as like the minor leagues, and like no one pays attention to those.
You're absolutely right.
And it's like, that's not correct. Like, I obviously know that's not correct now, but I will say that all of this stuff happening has forced me to realize how massively incorrect I've been in like where my focus is going.
Yeah.
And so that's been a positive for me.
The decisions made on the city and state level and the county level profoundly impact your life more than the things that are happening on the federal level. The things on the federal level just take longer, perhaps, to affect you.
Yeah.
You need to be involved in the local level because that is the most amount of rights that you've given up as a member of a society is on the local level. They have the most amount of control over your life and what's going on. So be a bigger part of it.
So, Brandon, I will agree with you. At the same time, I'm going to disagree and not make the call to action only about local politics. Really, I think there's a lot of people saying, you know, what can I do about this? And granted, you know, I'm the white dude here. So there's a lot of white people being like, well, I'm not racist, but I don't know what I can do to affect change. And it's like, you know, A, with your vote, like you're saying, B, just do anything to give back. Like, I've been terrible about giving back. I started doing Big Brothers last year, and granted, it's been really weird and on hold because of COVID right now, but like, everybody isn't given the same privilege that I am, and it's taken a long time to, and I still probably am coming to terms with that and what that means and having some self-realization while also laughing at it because I can't help that I was born white, but I can help what I do with the resources that I have. So if you don't want to get involved in state politics, if you don't want to get involved in local politics, granted, it's important. If you're not going to be good at doing that, do something that you can be good at doing. Like, figure out what your strengths are, give back in a way that fits your strengths to where you'll keep doing it instead of trying to force something on yourself that you'll never continue.
And that fits perfectly into our subject for today.
We ain't there yet.
Oh, dang it. But it does fit so well, though.
It does, but we ain't there yet.
But we can talk about the topic, you son of a bitch.
Sorry, go ahead.
No, it works well because our topic today is hobbies and the gig culture. And like Billy, what he is saying about you don't want to do any of these things if you suck. I mean, you can keep doing it, but you're just wasting time. But we'll get into all of this stuff, and I have a pretty freaking killer top five, so.
Oh, what? I really want a really big question mark too. I have a killer top five because the last two top fives have been such
terrible
piles of shit. Anyways, go ahead.
Like, I think we're going to take away your theme song.
No!
You're the only one with the theme song.
Yeah. Do better, guys. I asked for it from the beginning and
laugh.
I got
There's
it.
That beautiful
yeah,
laugh.
Thank you to Jason Harder, by the way. I don't know if some of you guys know Jason. Jason's so funny. I wish he was in Austin. I'd invite him on the show. So real quick, before we move on to the topic, I just want to say, like, I like the Animoji social things, but I don't think they're getting much traction. So I don't know if we'll still keep doing them, but
no!
I think they're so funny and silly.
No, you have to keep doing them. I think what helped this time around is that you've like had them reenact our stories.
Uh-huh.
I mean, the Pokemon Go helped. I think people related
it's
to that.
It's very Ricky Gervais show. Have you seen the Ricky Gervais show?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
I mean, like, come on. It's Dr. Katz. That's
good.
What started it.
Fair enough.
Is it a lot of work for you? Is it making
no.
us go into more of the red
no.
if you continue to do it?
No, I did spend a little money upgrading Billy's background. Billy, I don't know if you noticed. You didn't say anything. And
he's like,
I
did not
you
notice
say anything.
Anything.
But I upgraded your room. It's now like a better looking room. It was kind of like a, I got a cheaper background and used them for all three.
I'm so glad you're not like a professional accountant or bookkeeper. Your use of company funds right now. What are we at on Cameo?
Zero. Because I forgot to do your Cameo in 2 days and it refunded it.
Oh, shit.
I have a subscription. I got a subscription to stock site. So
I did like a
$20. The reason $20, I have it is to use it for promotional.
Do I still pay the service fee on that $20? Like, did that charge me?
your $2 does not get it refunded.
I don't think Cameo is going to be the answer we were hoping for.
Yet.
Did your mom at least like it? Because, like, I enjoyed making, like, yeah. Like, so for those of you who didn't see it, Keisha told her mom a story about her and her mother in Paris. And so Keisha's an octopus in these little Animoji promotional videos I make. And mm-hmm. I made her mom like a paler, bigger octopus. But it's the same fucking octopus.
No, my mom loved it.
They're not much
work.
She thought it was really funny. It takes me like 40 minutes to do one.
She thought they were great. I actually had a lot of people, like my friend Jen, my friend Aaron, a few people messaged me saying that while it was funny, her logic was not flawed. There are very rare Pokemon that you can only get in certain locations. So they totally understood. Let's be honest. They were like, the Eiffel Tower will always be there. A lucky shiny Mr. Mime, we don't know how long he'll be there. It's limited time. So you gotta take advantage of that.
I actually want to kill myself, but I want to take them out first.
By the way, I asked I asked Keisha, hey, did your mom like the Animoji?
Oh yeah. So my mom was listening to it. She had surgery, so I wonder if this is the medication talking. But she was like, you know, I listened to some of it. Some of it's a little raunchy, a lot of swears, but you know, you and this Billy guy, really funny. Brandon, not so much.
Tell your mom to get a goddamn Reddit account. Maybe she can join all those motherfuckers. And they can have a big shit party all about how Brandon's not funny.
It comes from a good place, Brandon. She's known you forever, but she just doesn't think that your best work is coming out on these podcasts.
Keish, why don't you bring us into our topic for the day?
Okay, so we had a topic previously. Couldn't get anything out of it, so we're going to wait on that. So then we started thinking, what would be a good topic for today? And to be fair, we came up with this about an hour ago.
Did you put it on Cameo? So, did you pay for the topic? Because technically I own the topic wheel.
Damn it. We should get a wheel. We should spin a wheel.
We cannot afford a wheel.
Yeah, we blew the budget on a giraffe background that Brandon's going to give up on after 5 weeks.
Okay, so the topic that we have agreed upon is... Brandon, I don't even know what we just said. Hobbies/gig culture.
Well, hobbies when we're young, that kind of evolves into
you know, to gigs, the gig culture, side gigs, hustle gigs.
So you don't even know the topic. How do you have a kick-ass top five? This is so confusing.
To any Gen Y kids out there listening, and whatever is younger than Gen Y, I don't know what that's called yet. Life was different in the 90s. We did have cell phones, but they didn't do shit. So you had a lot of free time on your hands that you had to fill. And we filled those with hobbies. Video games also not as good as they were today.
Well, I don't know.
They only filled your time because it was harder to save. Like, it was harder to beat games because you fucking die and have to restart the whole goddamn thing.
But did you play
again
on like an actual console, or did you play computer games?
Both. I was a nerd.
Was your favorite computer game that you played?
Solitaire.
No.
Not Pinball 3D.
Age of Empires and SimCity. What? Age of Empires, for those, it's kind of like Civ, I guess.
No StarCraft or...
None of that?
No. Did not do StarCraft.
Dune.
Doom was my game of choice as a kid.
Murderer.
And for some reason... No,
you could not
for real.
Play Doom.
Yes, huh? Yeah, huh?
How far did you get in Doom?
Like, I remember the codes to be like unlimited ammo and IDKFA, you unlimited armor, and you can go through walls, and you have all the keys to get through all the doors. And then my dad had a hack code to change Pinky into Barney, and then made my sister watch him destroy Barney with a chainsaw, and she started crying, and my dad thought it was the funniest thing in the world.
What kind of violent family did you grow up in?
Sounds like the kind of father I would be, actually.
But yes, we played a lot of shooting games. Well, now that I think about it, like when I was growing up, I don't think I was ever turned off by anything super graphic, like gruesome. because when my dad was young and I was
you were a little
up,
tomboyish growing up, right?
Yeah, I was. Yeah, yeah, yeah. And so we would. I think this is also why I really like horror movies, because when my dad was going through like his residency in med school, he would watch surgeries over dinner.
Oh, I did that volume, too. I did that too.
Yeah. Yeah. So the volume was down, like we couldn't, it was muted because we were talking as a family, but my dad had to watch these surgeries. And
that
so we're
is
eating dinner.
Fucked up. While
and
you
so,
were
like,
eating?
People are, yeah. And so they cut up these bodies and there's like all of this stuff. Never turned me off whatsoever. But now I'm piecing it together, because now when I watch really gruesome horror movies, like any fucking Eli Roth movie, like I can see it. I can't hear it. Like, I have to mute the sound.
Yeah, I have to mute the sound.
Because if I hear this, if I hear the squishiness or the slicing through a bone, that's when I get, like, the weird heebie-jeebies. But I can watch anything 100 times and I'm fine. So
yeah, I get
violence like that in video games and stuff in movies never really got to me. And I think that's probably why.
I get histrionic on the gore stuff. My dad used to play, like, he's an ear, nose, and throat doctor. So, like, we'd be sitting there and we'd be watching Wheel of Fortune. And then my dad would hit play just and have it queued up to torture us. And all of a sudden it'd be like a guy's like skin removed from his nose, peeled back to where you can see sinuses and all sorts of weird shit.
Dude, you want to hear something fucked up? So I did a commercial a few years ago for one of the new Mortal Kombat games that WB made, or NetherRealm Studios. Mm-hmm. And starting with number 8, 9, 10, yeah. The fatalities got like a complete overhaul, and they were super graphic.
Those are my favorite.
Well, hold on. Last year, when like all these different companies were getting called out for crunch culture, which in like gaming and media is you're fucking working all the time, not getting paid overtime. One of the things that came out about NetherRealm was that some of the game developers were fucked up or having some kind of mental issues because they based those new fatalities off of videos of people actually getting fucking murdered.
So I remember this. They all had real PTSD because they were forced to watch all these real violent videos as like research.
Yeah, because it's like, imagine someone getting with it, like, you know, cut in half with a chainsaw. Like, you see the meat and everything. Like, it's so accurate. Like go on YouTube and search Mortal Kombat
fatality
8, 9, or 10 fatalities, and it is fucking,
but it's not
true.
It looks
they're really graphic and like very detailed now, and I guess
detailed.
I didn't think about that now. Like, yeah, like someone had to do that.
So that's fun, you know, just another fun story. Yes. With our podcast here, really good times. vibing this week.
Sorry, this was my fault. I took it to a dark place. I apologize.
We're talking surgery videos over dinner.
I know. I'm sorry.
And we're working through therapy.
I love horror movies so much. That's one of my hobbies, is horror movies.
That's not a hobby.
Yeah, huh?
No, we'll hobby we'll and video games. Like, we're not going to spend the entire time talking about video games. Video games aren't really a hobby.
You didn't ask me what video games I played.
What video games did you play, Billy? Because this is a fucking video game podcast now, so let's just everybody talk about what video games they like. Billy, what video games did you play?
I played Super Mario 3 and Metroid. I played Roller Coaster Tycoon, not so much to build the roller coasters, but to launch people into the lake and kill them.
Or to make the roller coaster that's like so violent everyone hates.
Yeah, they all throw
like
up the second they get up.
Like
everybody's
500 miles an hour.
That's intense. Okay.
All right. Getting back to actual hobbies. Let's talk about a hobby. So to define a hobby. A hobby is something you do in your spare time. That's it. Not entertainment. Not movies. Not video games.
Yeah.
Like collecting
stamps.
It's like stamps.
A thing. It's like
it
a, thing that is different from what you do on a daily basis.
Like an activity?
An activity. And so, you know, now you're so used to when you have time to kill, you just get on your phone, for me, I like Twitter a lot. Like, there's just so much information, right? You didn't have that back then. You had a lot of free time you had to fill. Yeah. Also, with the internet, it was not as easy to use the internet. Like, you had to have, if you're lucky, a spare phone line. Like a main phone line and the spare phone line, and one person on the internet at a time.
We had 4 phone lines. Is that unusual?
Did you? Yes man.
Yeah. Who are
we
you?
We
can you turn
privilege.
Your privilege down on this podcast, please? Jeez.
So I think internet in the 90s is probably a whole show unto itself.
Yes.
So let's focus on hobbies.
Okay.
Which was your topic?
This
I
was
remind
okay.
You.
Okay, so
What hobbies did you have as a kid?
As a kid, I had two major hobbies. So, Brandon, you said I was like a tomboy.
Yeah, you were. Massive rollerblading tomboy. Was one of your hobbies.
No. That was my cool hobby after I watched Brink on the Disney Channel and thought that I was going to be a soul skater.
Whatever. Everybody knows the coolest rollerblading piece of media is D2, the getting the team.
Yeah, the Mall of America scene.
Montage. Yes.
What? Brink is the greatest rollerblading.
No, you're wrong.
Team Puppin' Suds? That's not cool.
No. Oh, Keish, you're so cute when you're wrong. I guess look at it. Look at it. You're like your eyes just get all like sparkly when you're mistaken about something.
Okay. I feel really uncomfortable hobbies. Like you're mansplaining her right now.
Oh, don't.
I'm right. Cut. I'm right. You totally mansplained just now. And you.
Okay,
you know
so let's get back.
It's an opinion. It's not mansplaining.
Let's get back to the
You're
topic.
So cute
you,
with
you
your opinion.
Asked me, you asked me what my hobby was as a kid, and I had two hobbies. One was collecting rocks, and two, because my dad gave me my first ever Swiss Army knife, making weapons in the backyard.
What the fuck? You watch horror movies. You make weapons.
Nobody
you play
was
Doom.
Concerned with my hobbies as a kid. These are all very concerning hobbies. But I vividly remember hanging out with my little brother, having my little Swiss Army knife that had like a nail file, a scissor, a toothpick, and a very sharp little knife. And we were going out and climbing trees, pulling branches down. And he's like, this is a good one. And I'd spend like 20 minutes sharpening the end of it. And he gets another one that bends a little bit better and makes like a little bow and arrow. And we just try to shoot things with it. That was a hobby that I had.
Yeah. Did you have the Anarchist Cookbook? Were you like mixing fertilizer and other chemicals in a wheelbarrow?
I did write anarchy everywhere. And I wasn't entirely sure what anarchy meant, but I would spell my name like K-I-S-H, anarchy.
And you drew the little pentagram star symbol. Did you listen to Insane Clown Posse?
I did.
I did listen to Insane Clown Posse.
I had two of the ICP
Who am I
albums.
Associating with.
Look, man, say what you want. The Great Malenko is a cool album. I'm just gonna say it. I don't know. Like I had anger when I was that age, and it resonated
to it.
Yeah.
So
it
okay.
Resonated.
So Billy, what were your hobbies as a kid?
Pass.
No.
Don't you love the idea of being on a podcast and being able to say pass? I'm not actually interested in doing the podcast right now, but maybe if you come back to me in a few minutes, I'll be in.
All right. I'll go first then. I was in a gang, but a suburban lame gang. It was just kind of like everyone on our street and we would ride bikes together.
Did you cause a ruckus?
Well, like when like somebody was messing with like kind of the leader of the gang, his name was Chad.
Of course his name is Chad.
We all brought our weapons.
That Keisha made that you bought from Keisha.
You know. And
that's
then I was
how
like
I made money.
And again, this was the suburbs. I was probably the only one who wasn't white. But at the time I thought I was white because I didn't understand race.
You're not white?
No, you know I'm not white, motherfucker. So I was like, hey, wouldn't it be cool if all of our weapons could join together? And they were like Power Rangers. That's lame. And I felt bad. So I was in a gang. A suburban gang. That was one hobby.
We sang doo-wop music.
We did snaps.
And I was like, I think it's a hobby. I was super into sports stadiums. I like became obsessed with these like huge engineering.
Yes, I remember this.
Yeah,
I
was huge
this.
Engineering projects and like learned everything about them. Like downloaded all these like progress photos as they were being built. Because cool thing is.
Oh, no.
I'll just say real quick. So. The city of Baltimore, for whatever reason, built the ballpark at Camden Yards, and it changed everything. And after that, everyone started building these custom stadiums for specific sports that incorporated like history and like a new way of looking at architecture, and it was exciting. So those were my two hobbies.
It's very true, yeah, because the Texas Rangers Stadium, the ballpark in Arlington, was like a quick ripoff of Camden Yards, but like Texas theme sort of deal.
They changed everything. And like, you know, like the Mets now have Ebbets Field. Well, it's based on Ebbets Field. I forget what it's called, the actual corporate.
When name. I was 13, I got into ballparks and masturbated to Camden Yards on a nightly basis.
Oh, can we add masturbation to the hobby?
No.
Because I did it a lot.
I'm practicing my hand puppets, mother. I'm just practicing my hand puppets.
Gross.
All right, Billy, what were your hobbies?
See, it's hard, right? Because I was just a part of a lot of organizations growing up. It's like, oh, I was a Cub Scout and a Boy Scout, and I belonged to, like, I had to go to church 3 times a week, and I was in sports, and I played soccer and baseball and football, and I couldn't really play basketball. I was real bad at basketball, so I didn't play basketball. But when I had free time,
Wait, you were a Boy Scout?
Yeah.
Like, those you have to be it? Like,
how far, yeah,
you
how
have to
far
be like
16
to be a Boy Scout.
No, no. I was like, first year, I was one and done because all these kids were lighting their feet on fire with lighter fluid and there were wasps everywhere. And I don't mean the Protestant
just
kind.
Not interested.
Yeah,
in
it was
that.
Real fucked up.
The bug kind.
I did play sports in the neighborhood. So we had like a neighborhood, not a gang. We had a league. We played a roller hockey. And then when I got older, I started playing music. So I got a bass guitar in 7th grade and a guitar in 9th grade. And I played in a band in high school, like a rock band.
Did you get paid, though?
Yeah, a couple of times.
See? Okay. So this actually goes well with our theme because when we were younger, right, it's all about just doing shit for fun, like to pass the time because there's nothing else.
And to clarify, it's because our parents didn't want to spend time with us.
Yes, because they
were. And you're seeing that now with all the people who have kids in quarantine that are going fucking insane.
Right.
It's because your parents didn't want to be around you and they couldn't just give you a tablet and get you to shut the fuck up.
I mean, I colored sometimes and I drew and I wrote a lot of poetry. But like beyond that.
Oh, my God. Can we read your poetry?
No.
I'm really worried about your childhood. Like, I feel like there's an alternate Keisha timeline where you're writing anarchist cookbook poetry. Jesus. And playing.
I feel like with all the dark shit that I was into, I think it could have gone very wrong.
You were a risk is all I'm saying.
But I got out of it.
You stared at surgery videos all day. You played violent video games. You manufactured weapons and you wrote dark poetry.
I had a live journal and a dead journal for when I was feeling sad.
That's why so many of your boyfriends seem like quasi serial killers.
Like in hindsight, I can see that now. But back to our topic. The point we're trying to make is as we get older, all of a sudden it goes from like we need to have hobbies to fill the time to these hobbies need to also give us money. And so you see that as you get older where you're doing things to like make a buck. So you're cutting people's grass or you're like washing cars or I don't know what other people do. I used to like babysit or I would help people like do crafts or make food for them. But like what
God help the people who hired you to babysit. I don't know what you taught their children.
We're going to watch
hey,
some
watch this
movies.
Video surgery.
Let me introduce you to Hellraiser.
And then, like there's some 20-year-old now who's, like, in bed rocking, like,
Keisha. Oh, my God. He's, like, in the mental asylum right now, bouncing against the walls.
But what were things that you guys did that, like, were part fun but also got you a little bit of, like, an allowance or some money?
Well, what did you start making money with? And then how did you figure out how to monetize the fun thing, I feel like, is the natural progression.
It was just I would babysit. And then, like, I remember.
Was that fun to you, though? Was that
you didn't
fun
get an
you?
Allowance for chores or
it
anything?
It was okay because they were good kids.
Not
and,
after you
like,
were done
they
with
were
them.
They were my parents' friends. And so they felt bad. They felt bad not giving us, like, a decent amount of money. So they were like, I don't know, $20 sounds good. And I'm like, okay. But I think, like, as far as making extra money, I remember my mom told me when I was, like, 7 years old that my allowance was $2 a week. And she forgot after a few years. And I kept tabs of how many $2 weeks she's missed. And I tried to cash it in. And she's like...
With interest?
With inflation, now that I know what inflation is.
Now that I work for a bank and don't know how to subtract 17 from 20, let's calculate inflation.
She was like, no. And I was like, okay. Can you buy me an iPad or an iPod? And she's like, maybe. I'm like, okay. Can you buy me the new Everclear CD? And she's like, yes. And for some reason, that was a good trade-off from like 4 years of missing allowance. And now I have so much for the Afterglow as one of my first CDs that I ever bought.
Now I can listen to Father of Mine 15 times in
I just
a row.
Didn't know. I didn't know how to negotiate back then. That's a skill that I have now. I should have known better.
So I don't know. Maybe like I didn't have traditional hobbies. When I got to college and I got a kind of job at the TV station where I met Billy, I really committed to it like more than 100%. And that kind of continued into my my first job out of school, and I could definitely say my work-life balance was completely off. And I think maybe the lack of hobbies growing up kind of just pushed me into just focusing on work 100% of the time. And, you know, I burn out. And that's what happens is if you don't have that kind of balance, you burn out. Right?
Can I say, though, like, I don't know if this is just me, but I feel like the whole work-life balance thing is a new thing. I don't ever, when I was going through like trying to find a job, get out of college or getting internships, no one was like, look for companies that value work-life balance. They were like, just find someone that'll hire you and be grateful that they're going to pay you to do
stuff. Yeah, but that's been a reaction to the immediacy of work now. You have a smartphone, you're followed by your work constantly. I mean, right now we're working from home. We're seeing it worse than ever. It's like you are constantly on call and you're not a surgeon, you don't work in an ER, why are you constantly on call? Because every time you pick up your cell phone, you get a work email.
Right, right. But I do think that like...
That didn't exist back then.
I think it doesn't exist in some countries now. I think France passed a law. Like certain companies can't email you about work outside of certain hours.
But I even think the ability to prioritize work-life balance is like a type of privilege for people. Like if you're working four different jobs that are shitty jobs just to make your rent, like you don't have the privilege to be like, sorry, grocery store, I don't want to do that. I have to value work-life balance.
Yeah, that's just
like,
benefits in general. I mean,
I think a part of it is we weren't thinking about that when we graduated and when it entered the work environment, because we entered it in a recession and a really bad recession. You know, I graduated in 2009, Billy graduated 2010, Keisha graduated 2009-ish.
Mm-hmm.
From her fake school or from her real school?
From my real school.
And, you know, you're desperate to get a job. It doesn't matter how much they're going to pay you. It doesn't matter how much you have to work. But, you know, like so many people can't find work because the economy's shit. And then I think, like, over time, you had companies realize that there's a falling out. Mm-hmm. Like a mass fallout for people like overcommitting themselves, overworking. And that's where I think you see the work-life balance. That's why I think you see more like my wife's company, even pre-COVID, was like work from home one day, you know, like, and you see in some other countries where they're doing 4-day work weeks because you understand forgetting this bullshit boomer. Oh, this is the way it should be. People are less productive when they're mentally, you know, exhausted
and
strained.
Calm it down on the boomer language, man. You're age shaming.
He's very upset.
I'm generation shaming.
So now that we have, okay, so all of us are adults-ish for the most part.
I don't think millennials will ever
feel
like adults.
I didn't get to tell you what I did as a kid when I was getting, you know, paid. Come on, you guys keep skipping me.
You said you're in a band. We get it. We get it.
I did more chores than all of you.
You play music cool with your
all
bass.
Right, Billy.
Thank you. I appreciate that. I am cool.
What did you do when you were a kid?
I crushed cans. So, like, you know how you recycle cans? You crush cans. I had to crush all of.
Did you use your hands?
No, God. What am I, a bear?
Oh.
And then I had to do all of these weird odd jobs for my dad. He did a lot of work around the house, like pouring concrete in the side yard and repainting the entire ceiling and texturing them.
Was he a contractor?
He was a doctor, but he liked working with his hands. I got electrocuted once working for my dad. Just a lot of weird odd jobs.
Billy, you're the youngest, right?
Yeah, I was the youngest. Summers, I had to work for my dad's doctor office. So like when I was in junior high, he would put me in a storage shed and I would just move boxes of files.
Jeez. Yeah, that's way cooler than our hobbies, Brandon.
That's not a hobby. Moving files isn't a hobby.
Yeah, I had lame jobs. I had a summer where all I did was shred. Shred like documents
not,
at my
not
mom's
your
work.
Oh, not your abs. Sorry.
No, no. All I did was shred like documents of my mom's work, and I get so bored. I'd ask to like go to, you know, buy something at the, like, I don't know, the cafe, and I just go in the elevator and I just start hitting all of the buttons. And then one time, like, I kept hitting the buttons, and all of a sudden the elevator fell like 3 feet. So then, like, I jumped out and like sprinted away and hope they didn't have it on camera.
Oh, I completely forgot. So I did have one really awkward job as a kid. I would earn $1 a minute massaging my mom's shoulders. Is that weird?
Weird.
Is that
I mean, weird. That's pretty good. That's pretty good money.
So like
though.
One day, and I was like my hands were wrecked. I was like 11 or 12 years old. And
$1 a minute.
Yeah, like a real massage. He paid me like I was a masseuse. Yeah, that's how I earned the game Banjo-Kazooie.
That's so weird, man. Every time you play that game, it's just in the back of your mind, you're thinking about massaging your mother.
Yeah, it was a beautiful love between a son and his mother.
Fuck, dude, that's weird.
All right, so...
oddly sensual.
So, we had weird hobbies as a kid. We kind of evolved into hobbies that kind of made money as we got into teenage years. And then I was writing in my dead journal about my feelings. So, as adults...
I think we covered your life journal.
I'm going to cameo you and say our next topic is just live readings.
You have to read posts from your live journal. As we are adults now, though, what are hobbies that you have now? And to be fair, like, I think hobbies as we've gotten older, especially in our 30s, they can't just be hobbies anymore. Like, if you tell people, oh, yeah, like, I like to knit, people are like, oh, wait, well, do you sell it? Like, what do you do with all the shit that you're knitting?
Hobbies aren't monetized. Hobbies you do for pleasure.
They have to be, though, because time.
I think a lot of people have monetized their hobbies, and now that's what I think a side
hustle. That's the difference between a side hustle and a hobby. A hobby you do for fun or for pleasure. A side hustle is monetizing a hobby.
That has a little bit of pleasure because you have to, because you get money.
If you were to say someone has no hobbies because they go to a book club and they knit or they, you know, do long distance races, none of those are monetized, but they're still hobbies.
I know, but I'm just saying that as adults,
you are obsessed with the idea of a side hustle because you've been watching too much SponCon and influencers, and you feel like everything has to spin a buck.
For the man. I just want to be an independent woman. That's all I want.
The gig economy is a real thing, you know, and it's picked up in the last like 5 or 6 years between ride sharing services like driving for Uber or Lyft or Airbnb hosts.
I agree.
And that was like a pretty good side hustle managing that.
But that's
for
not
a
hobby
until COVID.
Having
came.
An Airbnb isn't a hobby.
I mean, if you have the right attitude, it can be.
So they're two distinct things. You can monetize and make your hobby a side gig, but you
this
can have side gigs that aren't hobbies.
This is the episode we rolled with, Will.
You made a unilateral decision and changed the topic 10 minutes before, and you don't want my hot opinions, but I got hot opinions, and you are conflating two completely different terms.
A lot of people have turned their hobbies into side hustles.
I agree. I've agreed with
There's
that.
There's not enough time in the world to have both a hobby and a side hustle. You just got to combine the
okay,
two.
Okay, dipshits. Let's walk it back for a second. Keisha said that a hobby has to be a side hustle moments ago, which I...
Because you don't have time. There's not enough time to do
that's
stuff.
That's a complete fallacy.
You work, you eat, you poop.
Look, we agree that Keisha's wrong, but, you know, she can only do so much.
Can't wait for the top five. Jesus, I'm going to enjoy this.
Like, a hobby does not have to be a... Like, I know, like, didn't you... You took a class with your last boyfriend that was kind of hobby-ish, Keisha. So
oh, blacksmithing 101?
Yeah.
I think I want to go do it again because I think I could make money off of it. Like, I can make knives and, like, ninja stars.
She's gone back to making weapons. What is this?
Guys,
you fucking monster.
Who are the people that you think are going to be buying these things?
Here's the other thing.
They're the motherfuckers that are trying to
start a civil war right now. Brandon, let me educate
what
you.
What is it? The Bugaloo people? That would be your market.
Listen, last night I decided that I wanted to start a new hobby that includes curating things I like and also this wonderful thing that I heard about on TikTok called drop shipping. And so I bought a domain. I started curating. I built a website, I curated things, and now...
Killer Keisha's Crazy Knife Emporium.
So, guys, this website is called...
Need a slit of throat?
Can I plug my website, please? The website is called socialskulls.com, and it is hand-picked, curated, skull, gothic, emo-related shit for your house and all of your homes.
Wait, so you registered the site? This is your site?
Look it up. It's a real website. I'm still working on it. But yes, I'm starting to drop ship. I'm going to hand pick shit for like your house and your kitchen, and it's going to be fucking cool. Oh my God.
Did you only pick this topic so you could plug your website?
That's the best side hustle I've heard yet.
So I heard a podcast that you're supposed to find every opportunity to plug your drop shipping site. So yes, mission accomplished.
Can we edit this out? I don't want to hear. I don't want to promote a psycho killer weaponizing.
No, I'm fine with it.
So yes. So as adults, that's a new hobby I just started yesterday. I got into stocks, which again has monetary benefits.
How does that relate to hobbies?
I love watching the market.
It's a hobby. Have you?
Bull bear.
Have you ever bought stock?
Yes.
Yeah. No, for real. Have you ever bought a stock when someone tells you that it's fucking, it's like addicting.
And sold it because I needed the money.
I totally understand like I don't understand Wolf of Wall Street because I've never seen the movie, but like I read about it and it seems like I understand why it's a thing. Billy is like fucking going crazy.
This is the most ridiculous story I've ever heard. Have you ever? I've got this new side hustle. It's called buying stocks. I do something that I enjoy called investing in the stock market. Have you ever bought a stock before? It's like, oh my God. And I feel like I understand this movie. I've never seen the movie, but I really like the movie. But I don't know anything about it. And I'm really, my new side hustle is something called stock trading. I'm still learning what that means.
Oh man. Yeah, so COVID's kind of like ruined our Airbnb, like side hustle, which is good and bad. The bad of it is I miss that money. The good of it is it's not fun to have people in your house that you don't know.
You could always rent it hourly. See what kind of crowd that brings.
No, because I've been there. Like that's the problem I have now. Like my wife hates it, but she understands like, you know, and it's good like side cash. But there's this one guy and he lived in Del Valle, which is close to Austin. And I was like, hey, so why are you staying here? I know you live close. He's like, oh, well, my wife and I are going through divorce. And I'm like, oh, man.
Oh,
well, this guy is going to be super sad and depressed. Ooh. He's going to be like, you know, I'm sure his body has probably gone to shit, you know.
Why,
just eating.
Why is his body the first thing you want to judge?
And then he gets here, big dude, in pretty good shape, and pretty chipper. And I'm like, that's interesting. And he's like, hey, is it okay if my girlfriend comes over? And I was like, well, I mean, it's, you know, you rented the
room. There's the catch.
Yeah. So then, like, his girlfriend gets here and, like, meets him in the room. And I'm downstairs, which is directly under our spare guest room. And I start to hear squeaking. And then I start to hear spanking.
No.
And then I start to hear screaming. And all I could think of is like, oh my God, if my wife wakes up and hears this, she is going to be so pissed off. So I immediately like go upstairs and go to bed and turn on the TV. And like she like her like an eye will open. She'd be like, what is that? I'm like, oh, sorry, the TV's loud. She's like, okay. She goes back to sleep. She doesn't notice anything. And then like they finish. It's all done. And I'm like, whew. Lady comes back 2 days later.
For round two.
And then they're going for an hour. And like, there's nothing I can do. I cannot keep it. And like, my wife hears it, understand what's going on, and becomes furious. She's like, you go there and you tell them to stop. And I'm like, I mean, they paid for the room.
Who are they trying to impress, though?
They were impressed me.
There's no need. It's too much.
It was long. We get it. It was like
an hour. It's a new relationship. We get it. We've all been there.
I want to be like, baby, you know, that ain't his wife. So don't judge me based on that. That is not fair. While I do miss the money that came from our renting out our extra room, I don't miss the fucking people.
the literal fucking people.
Yeah. Oh, man. That was a much better story than the stock story.
My stock story was so good. That's going to be a great animoji. You just wait. Imagine, Brandon, make my octopus like a little Wolf of Wall Street octopus. Like, buy 10 shares, 12 shares. And like doing that thing in the movie, in the trailer, where he's like in the group with the room and cheersing. Oh, wait, no. I'm thinking
that's not
of
funny.
That's the Great Gatsby. That's Leonardo DiCaprio in the Great Gatsby. I think
I don't know if I'm having an aneurysm or an embolism, but it's one of the two. How? So I was in a cover band. So we used to get paid for gigs. And we'd play like for 4 hours. Everything. Tom Petty, Black Keys, The Strokes, Nirvana, Madonna, Billie Jean by Michael Jackson, if you don't know. All over the place, man. We did Rick James. I also wrote articles for the Dallas Observer as a side hustle. So,
nice.
What did you write about?
That's pretty cool.
It was mainly what I do here. I just ranted about stuff and it was clickbait. It was like the 10 reasons that traffic in Dallas is terrible. Shit like that.
When you worked at your brother's studio, you actually did some work for me. I had the fucking hardest time in the world finding a vault that was around.
Oh, yeah. And I remember that now.
I remember the people who were helping me out. I'm like, guys, we need a round vault.
Vault?
And yeah, like a bank vault.
Vault.
Oh, okay.
And they would send me something that was like a square vault. And I'm like, does this work? And I was like, no, it doesn't because it's not round. We need a round vault. And then I hear back again, well, we couldn't find a round vault, but we found this rectangular vault. And I'm like, no, that doesn't work. And then I had to like lose my shit and be like, I don't know how many other ways to tell you that we need a round vault or the gag doesn't work. It's a waste of time. So I like went on this tirade because I fucking lost it. I was like, I don't know how to make myself any more clear. And then the next day they found us a round vault in Dallas and Billy went up and shot it for me.
Nice.
It actually goes back to our topic of reality TV, how everything's fucking faked. It was for a reality TV show, and we fucking faked.
It all ties together. Our podcast is like The Wire.
I've never seen The Wire.
I hate you.
Have you ever played the game Fallout? There's Round Vault. A Round Vault is very central.
Oh, yes. I've seen Fallout.
We went down into this really haunted-looking, like, old abandoned building, and then the fucking door got stuck while I was inside. Like, we had to close it, but it didn't close all the way. It didn't, it wasn't like a flush, tight fit. And so, at one point, we closed it as much as we could to fake the shot, and then it got stuck, and it took, like, four people to try to open it. And I was inside, and inside it had been abandoned so long, there was, a chicken bone, like a rotted chicken bone, and, like, a left bucket with unknown fluid inside. It was horrible. It was actually a lot like the game Fallout, I think. I mean, I got paid like a salary to manage a studio. But then whenever there was pickup work, I'd be like, me please.
Yeah, it's fun going out. And hopefully we'll be shooting at some point. Hopefully we'll find a great investor who's like, make a movie and we'll make a movie together.
That'd be cool.
No, I hate doing that. That's terrible.
Oh, I love being on set.
Oh,
I miss
really?
It so
You're
much.
So anal. That's probably why. It's the most anal place to be. Sorry, I meant that as a positive, like, hey, you're so anal. Yeah.
No, I am. But like, again, that reflects back to like, you know, my hobbies growing up and like my hobby now. I tell you, my hobby now as an adult is like development, like in the city. And like, I have my own development group on Nextdoor with 250 people that joined at voluntarily.
Just talking about development.
I post about new developments with all the details and photos.
Do you have David Hixley
like
in
it?
There? Because he's capable of all things.
David Pixley, motherfucker.
Pixley. David S. Pixley.
I'm sorry. I don't remember the details.
His skills are limitless.
Yeah, so get him in that group of yours, and I'm sure he'll be the best developer of all.
We're getting distracted. So, Brandon, it's five things.
No, Billy, do you have anything else?
I don't care. Just do the fucking five things.
No, I just think I
we
can't keep
get
track
him angry.
Of who said what.
No,
just,
we got to get
I'm
him angry
the
for the other,
really...
the opposite of five things.
Oh my God.
The spicy, Billy's spicy five. Hot five.
How do you All string right. words together? What is your methodology for speaking?
You need to cue the music, Where's, motherfucker.
Play my music.
Scooby-Doo, bye, Keisha's five goddamn things. Zip, 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 zah, Keisha, goddamn motherfucking five things, foot long, bitch. That's pretty good.
You know what? I will accept that for today. I will accept that music. So, my five things are the five hobbies that will never be. It is the hobbies that I wish that I had, that people tell me that is good for me and is healthy and good for my health and my mind, but I just fucking know I'm never going to do it. So starting from number five, meditation.
Oh, fuck meditation.
I actually meditate. It's
really
nice.
So,
it's hard.
I can't do it, man. I can't. Quincy's doing it. He does it every day. He's been doing it for 2 weeks. He fucking loves it. And it's actually making a huge difference for him.
What app does he use?
Headspace.
Yeah, Headspace fucks.
Because especially because like now they give you a whole year for free because of the whole pandemic, and they're like, y'all, the world is.
I just paid $65.
Oh,
what the
yeah,
fuck?
You shouldn't have, because they're just doing it for free now. They're like, hey guys, the world is fucking stressful. Here you go. So yeah, it's a free for a whole year.
So hold on. Your top five things. In which order are we
going?
Doing
five,
are we going
5 to 1?
To
5 to 1, the usual.
So these are like, this is like your hopes and
my
dreams.
My hopes and
for,
dreams.
You're
hobbies.
Basically, you're doing like New Year's resolution on June 18th.
Yes.
How to become
so
a better
meditating.
Teacher.
Okay. Tried it. Can't get into it. I'm actually more stressed out after I meditate because I feel like I've wasted 10 minutes. I could have been doing stuff. Number four is, have you guys watched the Marie Kondo thing on Netflix?
Tidying up?
Like, yes, right? So this whole like idea of-
and practice joy.
Yeah, spark joy, minimalist living, that shit. Like people have taken that as a hobby, but I'm like, I paid for all of this stuff.
I like things.
I love
I
things.
I enjoy things.
I love things. I love having-
You don't forget things.
Like 12 different black shirts. I like all the varieties. I know it's a lot.
I like my colorful bulbs in my house that change colors and dance to music.
Yeah, yeah. Does that make me a bad person? Does that...
Maybe.
That probably doesn't spark joy for other people, but it sparks a lot of joy for me. It
sparks joy for me, yeah. I'm very materialistic. I have no problem with that.
Okay, number three. Running. That's a hobby. Billy, you run. You hate it. You broke your hip.
Why don't you run? Go run.
No, I love running.
Why?
I hate getting injured.
Why? Okay,
I love running.
Here's the thing. Every time I tell people that I'm trying to get into running, they're like, oh, just wait till you hit that runner's high. And I'm like, when? When does this happen? I never hit that point.
Yeah, what is the runner's high?
What does that feel like?
It's great. It's basically like meditation. It's like the whole world turns
well,
into
that's
this
why.
Like sweet tunnel of quiet.
That's why it doesn't work for me. I
no, I've never come close to that. And I do run, but it's like...
It's the worst.
When me running, I'm like, I fucking hate this.
I hate it
hate
so
it.
Much. It's
I
the worst.
I hate it. Oh
so,
my God.
Yeah, running
it's almost done.
Is never
keep
a
going.
Hobby. Okay, so number four is reading. And I not that I don't know how to read. Obviously, I can read. But to read for fun...
Just
I just want to make sure.
Out there,
I just want,
you should know.
I know.
I have a website where I decorate your house with skulls that
skulls.
I choose out, but I can read.
I just don't understand why she went with skulls. Like, who, especially during a fucking pandemic depression, who needs skulls?
There is a market for it. Okay. There is a market for it. Just
that's
you wait.
The worst.
No,
idea.
It's not. It's a fucking great idea. And you're just mad that you didn't think about it first and you didn't learn about dropshipping until I texted you about it last night. So it's fine. But yes.
There are women out there who can sell their own bathwater. So she may be right.
That's true. I want to make an extra $2,000 a month to satisfy my desire.
You will not make $2,000 a month
you,
selling skulls.
I will. And that's going to feed my desire to have more shit in my house because I love shit. I love things.
Make $2,000 a month doing podcasts.
When? Who? How?
I don't know. Have better top five lists.
What?
Maybe that'll
when
help.
When I start my own podcast, that's when I'll make $2,000 a month.
Hey, no. Okay. So,
wait.
So
$2,000 a month is like people subject. Who have real estate investments. How are you going to make $2,000
listen,
a month on a
got,
margin on
listen,
skulls?
You got to.
What's the margin on skulls?
It depends on how you buy it. So there's a whole science to drop shipping. I'm not going to get into it or else you're going to know all my secrets and no one's going to go to socialskulls.com.
Did I tell you guys? I'm trying to get some equipment back. So last year I did a lot of different test podcasts. One of them was sports themed. I'm trying to get some equipment back from somebody for that. And I wasn't hearing back. I was texting him, emailing, not hearing anything. So I finally just like kept texting like, hey, dude, what's going on, man? I just need this equipment back. He's like, oh, sorry, I've been using it. I'm like, oh, what are you using it for? He's like, oh, I started a podcast. I was like, motherfucker, with my equipment.
Is it
no? Give it
is
back.
Is it a good podcast though? Have you listened to it?
I don't know. It's not like he took what we were doing and making that. It's like a podcast with another buddy of his.
Boo.
Do you
he's
now
a great guy.
Own his podcast?
No. He's a great guy, and that might be a podcast in the future, but it relies on one person being available, and they're not available right now because they have kids they have to take care of.
Okay, can we get back to my number one? We haven't got to my number one yet.
Ugh. Oh my God, you're not done?
Yeah, I know. My number one
Jesus
hobby that I'll never have is, I put sculpting, but it's really this category of hobbies that require your hands, like hand hobbies.
You've outdone yourself. This is the worst.
This
top
is such
five
a good topic.
This is the worst episode.
This is like the pathetic list of things that I take to my therapist when I'm just like, God, I wish I was a better person. I could meditate. I could.
That's
run.
My top five. And the top five hobbies that I will never do because I just can't do it.
Do hand stuff. My
hand hobbies.
Number one. This is number one is hand stuff.
Like, what are we talking about? Hand
stuff? You're like, I'm really.
Don't I've thought about practice. It. Practice so, isn't the problem so with Brandon. He's had plenty of practice.
I'm ambidextrous in the hands.
Look, man, you know what a man does with his hand and another man's penis for money is his business. I've always said that.
You ever get docking and doxing confused?
I know what doxing is. I don't know what docking.
You know what docking is?
No.
Tell us what doxing is.
Places like Reddit or anywhere else, people have anonymous screen names. You figure out who they are in real life and put up their personal information. What's docking?
Dachshund is not about a dachshund, like dogs, like little puppies.
No, doxing.
Yeah, dachshunds.
God damn it. Shut the fuck up.
This is what happens. We change the podcast topic based on Keisha's recommendation 10 minutes before we start, and it's an unmitigated disaster. And
now,
we get dachshund
to be fair,
jokes.
The topic we wanted to do... It's kind of heavy.
It's a little heavy.
So.
Oh, now we're getting heavy. suddenly heavy. Talking about race relations.
Well,
and
we have to, man, of the world. We have to address it.
That's true.
Yeah, so roll into it, buddy.
I can't not talk about Black Lives Matter and just roll in and me giving HJs at the corner for money.
It's true. It has a side hustle. You can't just jump into
it. I'm not saying that you shouldn't talk about it. I'm saying you're complaining that how you were raised is heavy.
No, not heavy. Like, I guess I meant more like it's, you know, one thing we got to get right.
Yeah.
If we're going to be talking about our parents.
Yeah, because they're going to
talking
listen.
About other people yeah. in general.
Yeah, yeah.
Docking is where two dudes create an airlock with their uncircumcised penises.
God. What?
Docking. A very intimate and intense sexual act performed by two uncircumcised men. Guy one pulls his foreskin back and holds it while guy two stretches his open.
No, you're going to have... No.
And outward as far as possible over the head and shaft of the other guy's penis. Then guy one repeats the procedure as he's releasing all of his foreskin that he was holding back.
This is how you create
tightly.
A vortex. Do you want a vortex?
I can't.
Wait, what? Well, how do you mean like a black hole? Like a vortex? Like,
it's like portals.
Like a portal to another dimension?
To other dimensions.
You took two penises
You're not
together?
Ready. You're not ready for what's on the other side of that portal.
Jeez, man. If that's what it took to create a portal, I don't know if I could go through with it. That is a hard dilemma. Because I would love to see other dimensions,
but
I wouldn't necessarily want to take someone's foreskin around my penis. Billy, do you have foreskin? What's that like? You gotta clean it a lot?
No, I'm clipped.
Oh yeah, me too.
It's like bulldogs. You have to clean their
foreskin. Have you seen an uncircumcised like foreskin, Keisha?
Yeah, I'm sure. Probably.
What do you mean probably? You don't remember?
Why would I remember that?
I would remember if I saw like a vagina without a labia or something. I don't know.
I don't have a picture book or a fucking scrapbook of things I've seen. I'm sure I've seen it.
Oh, man. Whatever you do, don't search docking penis illustration. And then click Google Images.
No.
You don't like remember penises that you've seen?
No, man. That takes up too
much
space.
I remember every vagina.
That takes up too much space in my head. Between stocks and weapon making.
Oh, yeah, right. Stocks are really taking up space in your head.
There's not enough room in there. I got to make room for the important
things.
That's
crazy. Penises are so silly looking. If I had seen a bunch of them, I feel like I'd remember it.
No.
Okay, so Billy, it's very difficult for me to keep track of who said what. I want to make sure that you have said all you need to say about Keisha's five things before we move on.
Look, she basically just gave out like a sob story of what she wishes her life could be. And I applaud her for that. It takes a lot of...
Oh, thank you.
...patheticness to admit that in front of dozens of listeners.
I mean, our parents who listen to this podcast. All right.
Jesus Christ.
Billy, give me your whatever top five.
Oh, my top bottom five.
Your
that
bottom
you've given
five.
Me about
your power bottom five.
5 minutes before the show recording to prepare for. I didn't even know what the topic was. I came in with one list and you're telling me redo it on the fly. And I gladly will. Number one, worst thing about having hobbies. They remind you that you're a slave to your job and you can't ever find the time to do the hobbies. So it's like a weird, bizarre form of self-torment thinking, you know what I'd really like to do is practice this song that I learned on guitar, but I'll never have time because I am in COVID-19 world and have to work 24/7. I'm thinking about putting a gun in my mouth because I'm overworked and haven't slept for a full night in days. Number two, social guilt. You tell someone that you like dicking around playing old video games, and they tell you that they just volunteered for some social justice group, and they spend all of their time helping under-supported people, and you're like, oh, I really wanted to tell you about this level that
you're
I'm
like
on.
Final
but
Fantasy,
never mind,
though.
I can't now, because I feel really, really bad about my life decisions right now, but good for you, man. Good for you. Fuck you! Good for you, man. I'm proud of you. Number three, good hobbies are expensive. Sure, golf is really fucking fun. I'll never be able to afford golf. My God. That's it. That's all I've got. Hobbies are expensive. Have you ever fucking done a hobby?
Yeah.
Yeah, it's insane.
Yeah, man.
Playing guitar. Do you know how much I've spent on guitar stuff in my life? I've probably spent like $15,000 mm-hmm. on guitar shit over the course. And granted, you sell it, so you make some money back.
But not the strings.
Not side gig
and
money.
And when people make a list of like the top 1,000 best guitarists, it's never you.
No. No, and I can't even play their songs.
It's never someone doing it as a side gig. It's the people that are doing it as a real gig.
Oh, and then you want to make a record, and that's a real money sink.
Oh, I'll make you a record.
That sounds like a threat.
Or something really erotic.
No. I'll make you a record. I can record it. Billy, it's just you're a cover band, but you don't stick to one. You gotta pick one artist.
Exactly. So that's the same thing with drop shipping. You got to find one market.
The worst fucking market. No, that's a horrible example.
I'm never going to take your advice, just as a blanket rule now. Anyways, good hobbies are expensive. Next.
So what did we learn today?
No, I've got more.
No,
what
you
are
said
you
that
doing?
Was it.
You said you didn't said have any more, man.
No, I said next,
no.
as in
no,
shut
no,
the
no,
fuck
no.
up.
Oh.
Let me
you
say
said,
my next one.
You said,
I'm
that's
trying,
all I
man.
Got. You said that's all I got. That means I got no more.
Unexpensive. I hate you. Let me finish my goddamn list.
I'm not. I'm trying. No. Okay. Number four.
No, number two.
Oh, are you going the wrong way again? You got to go 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, not 5, 4, 3, 2, 1.
Number four, having hobbies that you can't share with anyone that just make you really, really lonely all the time. Like when you and your wife are supposed to spend time together and you want to go play a rousing game of disc golf and she wants to watch reality television shows.
Yes.
90 Day Fiancé, motherfucker.
Oh, Maggie.
Or talk about her real estate side hustle that's actually literally making our family money. Mm-hmm. But all I want to do is watch Seinfeld seasons 1 through 9 and write a commentary about it for the deep web.
Dude, your wife is dope. Why is she not on this podcast?
That's true. Yeah, it'd be nice to have another.
She's got too many side gigs.
It'd be nice to have another lady.
Yeah, she does have too many side gigs. Motherfucker, this lady was like designing interior homes for like
Jamal.
Rich dudes.
Jamal.
Yeah, for like rich dudes. Like literally like in like the richest building in the city of Austin. And now she's like selling real estate like a player.
Damn.
Yeah, she's pretty cool. Let's get back to me. Have you realized how hard it is to, like, meet people to share hobbies with? Remember when you were in high school and college and you could always find someone who shared common interest and then you're an adult working from home and you're like, oh, I want to go do this. I wonder if I can find anybody who wants to do it. You call your friends and they're like, no, I'm not into that anymore. And you're like, oh,
yeah, that's how,
I guess I'll go
be alone.
That's how
we got roped into this podcast because Brandon was like, hey, I have friends. You guys want to do this stuff with me? And we're like, sure, whatever. Why not? 5, 6 episodes in.
Do you guys still enjoy doing it? I feel bad because it seems like you're always working really hard at your normal job and I feel like I'm distracting from it.
You're like, pay attention to this.
I feel like one day you're going to be like you're going to find out I'm not really dying and you're going to be like, we thought this was your like make-a-wish. And we thought it would have run its course by now.
I always assumed if you got a make-a-wish, you'd want to go to like Disneyland with Kevin James or something really weird.
Oh, that sounds fun.
You know, I am not a Kevin James guy.
You strike me as a Kevin James guy.
No, come on.
Okay, number five. When you have a hobby and then you try to make it a side gig or a job, you're basically falling for that trick where your parents told you to dream big and you could do anything and to follow your dreams. And then really you start to try to pursue your hobbies and monetize them and your entire life comes crashing down and you can't pay your bills and you get way into a car loan or way into your rent and you can't figure out how to monetize anything. So you decide you have to sacrifice everything and join a corporate America job where your life completely falls apart and you look into the empty void of your email all day and feel like you're dying inside. That's the problem with hobbies.
That's pretty good. I feel like that's pretty good.
Yeah, you just described my life.
The worse my top five is, the better Billy's is.
Oh, don't take credit
for
this shit.
So you're welcome.
No, don't take
for
credit.
For the inspiration.
No,
my shoulders
no,
and my back
no,
are
no,
so
no,
sore
no,
from carrying
no,
this
bullshit.
Podcast.
You got to be better.
I need to do more workouts so that I can carry this podcast.
I'm the one that gave you that idea because I'm the like I wake up and want to do shit and then I'm just kind of like, nah. Because, like, the whole thing with your top five about things you want to do came because I always wanted to learn how to be, like, a survivalist. And I wanted to learn how to be, like, work with metal and be able to, like, create weapons out of nothing. Because I thought if society ever falls apart, that I could actually, like, be able to do something and become, like, valuable and a prominent member of the new society with, like, no technology and everything's going to shit. But now that's actually happened with COVID and things are falling apart. And I don't know how to make a weapon. And I don't know how to make metal. I don't know how to work with metal. And I'm going to be completely fucking useless. My wife's going to lead me for, like, an alpha male who can like fucking punch people and I'm gonna be alone and fucking nothing.
I want to be on a podcast with just Brandon now. I'm out.
Billy, we never know when you're kidding.
No, I'm always like, he's gonna leave us for real now. We're done.
It's because I'm wearing a black shirt in the dark and I just stand up and it looks
like
I'm gone.
We did it. We finally pushed him away.
How's that mic stand, motherfucker? I bought you a new mic stand.
It's great. It's so big and so strong.
That one was expensive.
I haven't cashed that check, though, yet. So
oh, I did.
You still got
that going for you. I deposited
that
right away.
Did you really?
Yeah, I'm like, yup, thank you.
I'm like debating whether or not to take a government loan.
I got to tear up the check. This is...
You should go
put
it towards the...
You deposit
it. Put it towards the Cameo.
Deposit it. No, you deposit it. No, don't tear it. Don't tear it. You know, that check costs money, too.
We're in the red to write that check. You know that.
No, seriously, checks cost... Anybody with a QuickBooks account understands you got to buy... Checks cost money, and especially if you get the nice ones,
yeah,
not the ones that
true.
Are like easy to counterfeit.
And there's stamps on it, so the stamps, that's like...
I take pride in my stamps. I'm not one of those fucking douchebags that buys the stamps at the grocery store. I go to my post office to buy my stamps.
Wow.
Did you guys have Harry Potter stamps or Batman stamps?
I threw it away before I could see it.
Yeah, I don't think I noticed.
Did you seriously not notice the stamp?
No, I didn't. I'm sorry.
God damn it. No, they were Batman stamps.
Why are you?
I'm pretty sure.
Why are you asking us if you know the answer? You're just,
I think
because
Maggie
I wanted,
opened
you're just doing
I wanted
this,
you to be excited about it.
You're doing this to hurt your own feelings when you know the answer.
No, because
we're not
going to
look at
I thought,
stamps.
I,
it just doesn't happen.
Why not? So to be perfectly honest, I really do love collecting stamps, but it's actually a pretty expensive hobby because you have to pay for all the
you
stamps.
Because the stamps are like, well, I know like when my sister's like looking for stamps for her wedding invitations, the fancier ones are less amount. So you got to buy more of them and you got to find one that look alike.
Well, for invitations to cards, you got to get the butterfly stamps. And yeah, those are expensive. But there's really not much variety. But with a normal stamp, a forever stamp, tons of variety. No. I didn't send you guys Batman stamps. You had Star Trek stamps.
Ooh.
That's right. I have Star Trek, Batman, Marvel. My passion is collecting stamps.
I thought it was stadiums.
It's expensive.
I thought it was local government.
Listen, man, you got to pick a lane. Pick a lane and stick to it. That's too many nerdy things.
My traditional hobby is collecting
stamps.
Like,
at least
like my
pick,
passion for...
Pick one cool thing. One cool thing. That's all I'm
asking. None of them are cool.
Well, now we know that. This is the coolest thing you're doing right now, is just hanging out with us via podcast.
You are the most confident person I've ever known, and it's the most unjustifiably confident. I'm talking into Brandon.
Why? What do you mean? I'm not confident. I'm not. No, I just don't give a fuck what people think. There's a difference.
Except you
between
care
being
about
confident
what my mom thinks about you not being funny. That you care about.
Well, I care if I do something. Yeah, I care about feedback. Or like when I send you guys the little animation, I'm like, hey, did you like it? And you're like, cool, bro. And I'm like, I don't care about anyone else. Don't you fucking care about anyone?
So what did we learn today?
We learned fucking nothing.
Well, I learned a lot about Keisha today. And how she probably has some changes she'd like to make in her life.
And stonks.
She's going to sell skulls, and then she's going to have like a stock tip hotline.
All right. Keish, remind the people, what's the website?
Socialskulls.com.
We also have a new podcast launching soon. The trailer's out. You can search for it and subscribe so you have the next, you know, when the new episode comes out. It's all about 90 Day Fiancé. So if you like shitty reality television and you're not watching 90 Day Fiancé, you're doing it wrong. You got to watch it.
I'm in it. I'm in 90 Day Fiancé.
Yeah, she's in it.
Guys, I may get exposed to COVID this weekend, so we'll see you next week.
Keisha, did you learn anything?
No.
Billy, did you learn anything?
What the fuck?
You guys don't appreciate my skills for stonks and drop shipping. That's what I've learned.
You have no skills. You have no skills. That's what we learned.
You're the opposite of David S. Pixley. That's what I learned.
I have limited skills.
Bye, everybody.
Bye.